Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I see you're turning on after I shocked you by telling you that prayer is neither heard nor answered by a God in the sky. I want to give you a new definition for prayer, some of you. Prayer is a positive mental transaction within your own mind. Prayer is a positive mental transaction within your own mind. And so, as such, prayer is not even a religious exercise. Prayer is what you say to yourself within yourself. And to put it in the first person again, because I want you to be able to use this message. Prayer is what I say about myself within myself. And I want to go back to the text that we read a few moments ago concerning the episode of the woman with the issue of blood in the Gospels. In the Gospels, there is this lady who had an issue of blood for 12 years and who had tried all kinds of remedies and good physicians, but nothing helped her. And finally, Jesus came to town to conduct a meeting. She had heard about him. How many people had been blessed and helped and healed through the ministry of Jesus? And the words of the scripture, which I just read, tell us that she said within herself, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." And I want to point out something to you, good Bible people, that perhaps you've never noticed before. Notice where this woman's prayer was said. Notice where this woman's prayer took place. This woman did not address her prayer to a God in the sky. But the scripture says what? She said within herself. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And so I want to suggest to you a new way of prayer. When you pray, you are really talking to yourself. You are talking to your own mind. You are convincing yourself of the good which you desire. And here again, you know, when you pray, you have no one to convince but yourself. So many people waste a lot of time with this so-called religious praying by trying to convince a God in the sky to do something for them or to give them something. But here again, and I have to hold the guideline on the scriptures because we're going into the Bible Belt. This woman's prayer took place within herself. She said within herself, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." That was a mental transaction which she made within her own mind. To go into a bit of mind science and science of living for a moment, her conscious mind impressed the idea of healing, the idea of wholeness, the idea of restored health upon her subconscious mind. And this is the mental transaction. These are the mental mechanics which take place when you pray. The conscious mind conveys an idea to the subconscious mind. With her conscious mind, she selected the idea of wholeness, the idea of health, the idea of healing, and declared it and affirmed it. And the subconscious mind accepted that idea of healing and of wholeness. This is why here in these services, we're always affirming, even to the point of being redundant. I want you to know that I am purposely redundant in my messages and in my classes. Oh, of course, I studied theology, homiletics, and hermeneutics. But I found that people don't need that. People need something that they can use. People need the truth presented to them in such a way that it will set them free.
Wisconsin. Are any of you old enough to remember when the very first McDonald's opened in your neighborhood? Liar, liar, pants on fire. I know you're old enough to remember that. He did not raise his hand, so he's going to hell. So they announced that for the grand opening of this brand new thing called fast food McDonald's, they were going to give away hamburger, french fry, and Coke combinations to the first 500 people who showed up on grand opening day. And so, of course, all the kids from the neighborhood were there to take in the goodies. And I was among them. And 10 o'clock came, the store opened, and we got our hamburger, french fry, and Coke combinations. And I was delighted. It wasn't really that great food-wise, but what the hell, it was fast. And it was the first, you know, hamburger, french fry, Coke combination I ever had in my life. It was clearly not the last, but it was the first. And so, I was walking down the street, eating my hamburger, french fry, and Coke, you know, and I was just enjoying it. And then it's halfway through it, I spit it out. And my friend said, "What's the matter? Is it that bad?" I said, "Yes, but that's not why I'm... It's Friday." I forgot it's Friday. Oh my God. And I raced home to my mom, you know, and she saw that I came in the room and I was just beside myself. And she said, "Are you okay? Are you all right? Did somebody hurt you? Did somebody hit you? Did you fall? What happened?" I said, No, but it's Friday. It's Friday. I ate meat. It's Friday." You know, and my mother said, "Oh, sweetheart, sweetheart. It's okay." She held me close, you know. As only a mother can do at a time like that. "Honey, it's okay. I'm sure that God understands." Poor dear sweetheart didn't have the heart to tell me in that moment that God simply didn't give a damn. So, you know, I went to my room still thinking that he did. And so then the next day, that weekend, I was in catechism class after Mass, and the priest gave his little homily, his little lesson to the kids. And when he was done, he said, "Are there any questions on this or any other topic?" And I said, "Father, can I ask you a question about something else but Catholic?" He said, "Sure, theology, yeah. Yes, my son." I said, "Is it true that if I eat meat on Friday and I don't go to confession on Saturday and I get hit by a car on Sunday, that on Monday I'm in hell?" "No, my son. You're in purgatory." I said, "What is purgatory?" He said, "Well, it's just like hell, only it's not forever." I've had a few marriages like that, actually. But just kidding. Just kidding. So I said, "Well, what happens in purgatory?" He said, "In purgatory, you have your sins, you know, burned off or cleansed or whatever, you know, off your soul. And then when you're purified, you can go back and meet God the Father who is in heaven." I said to the priest, "Well, what about people who don't have any sins?" He said, "Well, my son, there probably aren't very many living saints like that. Chances are most of us have a few sins, even I," he said, "have a few sins that I would, you know." So I said, "But what about, I'm straining to find some example that, how about a 2-hour-old baby who dies, God forbid, at childbirth, but surely that baby would not have to go to purgatory, but in fact would go zinging right straight back to God the Father in heaven, right?" And the priest said, "Not necessarily, my son." "Well, why not? I mean, it's the picture of utter perfection, of absolute purity. Why wouldn't it go? Not unless it was baptized. Are you laughing, sir? And so I was told by the priest that unless the baby was baptized, and by the way, if it was not baptized, it'd be through no fault of its own. Obviously, the baby's 2 hours old, so it couldn't do a whole lot about that. So, but that didn't matter, and I was trying to explain to the priest, but Father, it's not the child's fault. I mean, the parents just didn't, I mean, it's not even the child's doing. It's, sorry, my son, baby has to be baptized. Well, if it's not baptized, where does it go? To hell? No, of course not. Well, to purgatory? No, my son. Well, then where? All together now.
Limbo?
I'm sorry? What in the hell is limbo? Well, it's kind of a suburb of heaven and hell. Just kind of a little over the side there. And I remember when I got that answer from the priest, I thought I was like 11 years old. In my 11-year-old mind, I thought to myself, didn't say it out loud, but in my mind I was saying, oh my God, this guy actually believes this. This guy is teaching this stuff. He thinks this is what God is about. He thinks that God denies entrance to the kingdom of heaven to a 2-hour-old picture of innocence because a ritual was not performed. Oh my. Oh my. We really are children of a lesser God. Years passed. 10 years later, I was 21 years old, and I saw a headline on my local paper, and it said, Pope declares eating meat on Friday no longer a sin. What? But what about all those millions of people through all those thousands of years who ate all of those hundreds of hamburgers on Friday by mistake? And all the time they spent in purgatory paying for it. What does God say to them?
Sorry.
Seemed like a good idea at the time. Ladies and gentlemen, with regard to the idea of God, we're making it all up. We are. They are. They are. It's bad enough that we're making it all up, but here's where it gets really weird. We can laugh at this, but we laugh through our tears because we know it's true. But here's the good news. It doesn't have to be true anymore. All we have to do is find a way to change our cultural story, not just the story that Catholics tell their children, or Muslims tell their children, or Jews tell their children, or Hindus tell their children, but all of us are telling, all of us, because we've got stories, I've got stories that are just as interesting.
Radio with your host, Akeem L.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Akeem L., your host at Hindsight Radio, the newest station on the block, but the hottest. Tonight we're going to be talking about that child support injunction. We talked about that last week. I kind of went over it briefly last week, went over some things, told you about. We have a template for that injunction over at Jonah's website. Or you can contact me directly to get it. My email address is akeemb@me.com. That's akeemb@me.com. Oh, man, I just got in, man. I had to run some cable. You know, that's what I do. I do installs of DirecTV, Dish Network, and I'm wiring up this school. Taking me 3 weeks to finish. It's a two-man job, but it's one man doing it. So I'm kind of worn out. So we're going to make this show kind of quick. Give you all the tools you need so that you can protect yourself from the child support. Now, let me just clear some things up with you on this child support injunction. The most successful where we at is before you get in that courtroom or go to that administrative hearing, because that's where we can stop it before you get into any contract. See, the problem we have right now is brothers are going in there getting into these contracts and not knowing the full story. You know, I think they got to be there, you know, because the paperwork reads in a way that makes you think that you have to be there. No, you don't have to be there. You just got to respond to that letter. And I actually got one, which is good, man, because my brother is going through this, and he just got one on Friday. So I actually got two. The boy been getting around. But I'm going to read his. And then what I'm going to do is going to read it and break it down how they trick you into being at these meetings. And all it is an administrative process. It actually says it on the paperwork. It's right here. I'm reading it. It says South Carolina Department of Social Services, Child Support Enforcement Division, administrative process. Right? I'm going to go to the Constitution and show you where you're not bound to administrative process, because it says it in the Constitution. And it says notice of financial responsibility and paternity determination. So basically, if you want to look at it in a simple way, this is a meeting for you to disclose your income and either voluntarily submit to paternity, or they will ask you to take a test if you have questions about that. And then it has his name. And if you notice on the document, it'll say it has his name in all caps. Now, when it gets to his children's name, it's up in lowercase. First letter of the first name is uppercase. The middle name is uppercase. And then the first letter of the last name is uppercase. See? So if you're paying attention, you'll see how they do it. You know, they're going after the straw man to pay the child support. They're going after that account. They're not going after him as a man. They're going after that straw man. So that's what they're bringing into court. But because we're ignorant to the fact of our position related to the straw man, we assume, hey, this all cap name is us. And so we just run in there. And we, you know, give up all our information, and they got us. Now, if you look over, they got his employer. They're in all caps. So we all know that anything in all caps is not a living entity. It's dead. If we look at a death certificate, it's in all caps. So basically, that's a corporate fiction they set up. And if we got any new people that don't understand what that corporate fiction is, basically when you're born, your birth certificate, mom fills out this birth certificate, registers it, and after that, they create this straw man. I'm just giving y'all a summation of that because my whole show is just about the child support. So if you want to know about the straw man, and you do need to understand what that straw man is in order to relieve yourself of this process to get out of this. You do need to understand. There's some things you have to know and do in order to get out of it. But we'll save that for private consultations. Like I said, my email address is akeemb@me.com. So you can contact me there if you got any questions about who this straw man is, because you need to understand that in order to protect yourself. Now I'm going to read the rest of this thing. It says the Child Support Enforcement Division, pursuant to South Carolina Code, Section 63-17-710, notifies you that you are the natural father and have a duty to support and provide the medical needs of the following children. Now, I'm going to stop right there. It says you have a duty to support and provide the medical needs of the following children. Yes, all fathers have a duty to their children. That's natural. That's the, you create the child, you have a duty to the child to support them. But you do not have a duty to support them under this system that they have created for you to support them. Because the system does not support a healthy relationship between you, your child, and the mother. And then it says born to the name of the mama in custody of the name of the mama. And you are required. Now, here's where they start playing the required game. It says you are required to appear on June 9th, 2015 at 9:30 a.m. for a negotiation conference to determine the amount of your duty of support. Now, look at that. It says for a negotiation conference. Let's look at that word negotiation. Actually, I'm gonna read it from the dictionary. Most of us do know what that means, but let's just read it from the dictionary, negotiation. All right, let's see. Because when you look at that negotiation, that tells you right there, we're negotiating. This is a contract I'm setting up. And if you know anything about contracts, both parties have to agree. Negotiation, the act of negotiating, the transacting of business in traffic, the treating with another respecting sale or purchase is another one, meaning too, the transaction of business between nations, the mutual intercourse of governments by their agents in making of treaties and the like. That's some of the, and you go negotiating, treating with, transacting business. And say if you negotiate it and you come to a agreement, let's go to negotiate, to procure by mutual intercourse and agreement with another, as to negotiate a loan of money, to procure, make, or establish by mutual intercourse and agreement with others. Now, in this dictionary I'm reading out of is an old dictionary. It's an 1828 Webster's dictionary. The reason why I have that dictionary, because that's a lot of times that's before they started changing meanings of words. Like, for instance, I'm going to go off topic a little bit. I'm going to go to, we all like to call ourselves black. I'm black. I'm a black man. Okay. When I read this definition, dictionary, you might be talking something different. All right. Let's go. Now, they got several meanings in here, but the very first meaning says black. Black, pale, wane, livid, to become pale, to turn white, to become black, to blacken. Did y'all hear that? I'm going to go further. Pale, wane, livid, blake, ink. These are like black is another way of saying black or blacker. To insulate, to expose to the sun or to bleach, also to lighten, to flash. Do I need to keep reading this? Here's another one. It is remarkable, this is like a statement they're making, that black, bleak, and bleach are all radically one word. Wow. See, that's why it's very important to look up words. Not assume and see how we're saying words now. They did not have those meanings years ago. As they try to mislead us, they give us these words and change the meaning. So black meant pale. Wow. Okay. Now let's get back on topic, which is child support. All right. What was I? I was on that that letter that he got. Now I said negotiation conference to determine the amount of your duty of support. Yes, he has a duty, but here they calling it a negotiation, meaning it's a business transaction. They want to negotiate with him. Basically, what they're saying, in other words, they want him to agree with their terms. Because you know, you and I know, you get in there, it ain't a negotiation. It's a straight, strong-arm mafia. You're going to do this, or we're taking you to jail once you sign that paperwork and you don't fulfill this contract. So how is that a negotiation? But that's what they call it. All right. And then it said negotiation conference will be held at Blake and Blake. It showed the address. Now, number three, it says you may assert the following objections in the negotiation. Correct. Now they're trying to control what he objects to. Objections in negotiation conference, you are not the parent of the dependent children. So you can say I'm not the father. The dependent children were adopted by a person other than you. The dependent children is or emancipated, or D, there's an existing court administrative order for child support. You may file a written denial or paternity with the division within 30 days after service of the notice of financial responsibility and paternity determination. If you fail to timely deny this allegation of paternity, the question of paternity may be resolved against you without further notice. Now, let's go back to the top of this thing. Financial responsibility and paternity determination. Then at the end, it's just strictly talking about paternity. If you feel you're not the father, or if you don't say anything within 30 days, they're going to find it against you. So basically, all of this is a way of tricking you into thinking that you're obligated in some way to use them to negotiate your child support for your children. And I'm telling you unequivocally, without a doubt, you do not have to use them in this process. You, the mama, could draw up a draft, an affidavit, and submit it to the court and say, this is what we agree upon to pay. The last thing you want to do, because see, a lot of people think this financial responsibility, paternity determination is the same thing as going to family court and getting your child support. They're two different things. This is just the agency. The child support is basically a contractor that they're using to get all of these cases resolved. And then once you sign off and you say this is what you're going to do, they take it before a family court judge and he signs off on it. And I'm going to show you in their own codes how they do that. All right. Where's the codes here? Let me skip down. Jurisdiction, is it under that? Okay. I'm looking all at South Carolina codes because that's where I live. Under the South Carolina, if you want to look this up, Title 63, South Carolina Children's Code, Chapter 17, Paternity and Child Support, Article 1. Down here, 63.17.40, it says settlement and voluntary agreement. So this is going to tell you that you can voluntarily make an agreement, and it shows you what happens. The court must encourage settlements and voluntary agreements and must examine and approve them whenever they are warranted. Upon a finding of fairness, the court shall approve without a hearing settlements and voluntary agreements, which are reduced to writing, signed by the parties, and properly verified. The agreement must be accompanied by financial declarations and affidavits from custodial and non-custodial parents saying that they have read or have read to them and understand the agreement and that they have voluntarily executed the agreement of or consent order. The parties may submit themselves to the jurisdiction of the court by a settlement or voluntary agreement, which must be filed with the summons of complaint. Now, did you hear that? The parties may submit themselves to the jurisdiction. So you see, it's all showing you this is all voluntary. You don't have to do this. A defendant's affidavits must state that defendant is capable of fulfilling any financial requirements of the agreement or consent order applicable to the defendant. Upon the court's approval, the settlement or voluntary agreement becomes an order of the court. So they're saying, now there is nowhere in here that says anything about child enforcement, the child support enforcement agency. It's saying you go straight to the court and y'all can have an agreement. But why would you do that? Two people could have an agreement on paper and never submit it if you're trying to be private. Y'all have an agreement, just both parties uphold that agreement. But I understand these baby mamas be tripping. I know that. That's easier said than done. At the same time, when she's tripping, you have to understand that if she's going through this process to get you in court, you don't have to deal with that if you know exactly what to do. And it's also in Part B of that same section, says in actions commenced by the Department of Social Services or any other authorized agency, an employee of the department of the agency who is familiar with the action may make, on behalf of the custodial parent, the required affidavit accompanying a settlement, voluntary agreement, and or consent order in case with a child's recipient of public assistance. The affidavit must state that the employee has reviewed the case. See how that's where they get in the middle. In Department of Services, they use their contractor, the Child Support Enforcement Agency, to make all this stuff happen. And there's another part I wanted to read. Oh, court orders. Now, all right, where was I? All right, I can't find that other section. Now I'm going to show you something. You know how when you're paying child support and you got to do your taxes, you cannot write anything of that off? Well, I'm going to show you in the code of the IRS that's a lie, that it is tax. It's not. It's tax exempt. It's in the IRS code 6334. If I could pull it up, computer moving kind of slow. And this is that's the section where it says property exempt from levy. Oh, if you read this whole thing, most everything is pretty much tax exempt. But they have us thinking that we have to pay taxes on this, all this stuff. But I'm just going to go on to the part where it says child support. Don't they have us paying taxes on unemployment benefits? Right here it says unemployment benefits, any amount payable to an individual with respect to his unemployment, including any portion thereof payable with respect to dependents under an unemployment compensation law of the United States of any state or District of Columbia of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Wow, they say unemployment benefits taxes them on this section too. But here we go. Judgments for support of minor children. If the taxpayer is required by judgment of a court of competent jurisdiction entered prior to the date of levy to contribute to the support of his minor children, so much of his salary, wages, or other income as is necessary to comply with such judgments. Wow, they're saying that's tax exempt too. So how come we not being able to write all that stuff off when we pay it? Now, when we're in the house, they say, well, that child doesn't live under your roof, so you can't. They have to be living with you in order to get that exemption. But here, in their own codes, they're saying something totally different. So, that being said, here we go. Now, we're going to go into the remedy of this thing. When you get this notice, like he got, he just got this last week, so he's at the beginning of the ball game now. Thing that pissed me off about this is I told my brother, you know, get his birth certificate authenticated properly, because you know he got the information months ago about how child support through this system is voluntary. You have to agree to the contract, and he didn't do anything. And I called him, hey, did you authenticate? Man, I ain't had the money, but he had money for everything else. Now he's getting this letter. Now he calling me, and he want me to bail him out of this situation. Of course, he's my brother. I'm gonna help him out the best I can. But I say this. Say that to say this. It is hard to get somebody out of this contract if they don't have the authenticated birth certificate. because that's the proof I use to send him to show him that he's the owner of that straw man. Now, I could send the injunction template without it and hope for the best, and it may work, but it works better with that authenticated birth certificate. Those of you that don't know the authenticated birth certificate, again, I told you what my email address is. You need to get on it and find out what that is and do that, because that's the only way, the best way to stop this process. And see, he's at the beginning stage of it. It's easier to stop it in this process when they're trying to get him in there than after you got him in, you agree to, because now after that, you got to go to a rescission of signature. You got to go through a whole process of getting yourself out of that contract, because basically you agreed to their terms. And now they want you to live up to it. And they're not going to let you go easy when you try to get out of that. So, all right. Now, and if you notice in the same, now they have, let me go back to the letter. I'm going to read this whole thing. We're in section 5 of it. It says, if you timely deny the allegation of paternity, you're subject to compulsory genetic testing, and the expenses incurred for such tests may be assessed against you, yada, yada, yada. That's just if you disagree with the paternity. But you don't even have to go that route about paternity. You're just saying, hey, I'm not a party to this. I don't want to be part of this contract. Now, I'm going to skip over to number 7 of this letter. It says the division will establish all child support orders in accordance with the child support guidelines. Oh, hang on one second. I need to. Computer moving slow. Working fine just before I got on the air. All right, let's get back to that. All right, what was that? Number 7. And it has all these SE code, blah, blah, blah. When you send your affidavit back to them rebutting all of this, you must take those regulations that they're quoting in here, study them. For one thing, go to their menu, study those regulations, and you have to say no contract to each one of them at the end of it. Or I decline, one or the other. Best to say no contract. All right. And then let's go skip over to number 8. No, we're not going to go over that. That's just basically talking about medical support. Here's another thing. If they never could serve you with these papers, they could never get you for this child support or get you in there. They never get that paper in your hand. All right. Here's where they get you and they set you up. Right here. Number 11. If an order of default establishes paternity and financial plus responsibility issue, it shall be filed with the clerk of court in Richland County. When filed, the order of default has all the force, effect, and remedies available for enforcement. For example, wage assignment, contempt, tax, intercept, or license revocation as an order of the court. No judgment is required to certify pass-through child support to Internal Revenue Service or State Department of Revenue for purpose of intercepting federal or state tax refunds. It says you got to notify them in 10 days if he changes his address. See, now this is if you're starting to agree to all of these contracts, all of the things you got to do. So how is this a negotiation if they're telling you this is what's going to happen if you don't follow these rules? So all the rules are in their favor. An order issued pursuant to South Florida County Code, now they're using codes again, or an existing order of court of any other administrative order may be modified under blah, blah, blah. They got the code there. You may request a court hearing within 30 days after receipt of the notice of financial responsibility and paternity determination. Request must be served upon the authorized designee for the division whose name and address are listed below. The request must be served by certified mail or in the same manner as summons in a civil action. If you have questions, you should telephone, blah, whatever. Let's go to the Constitution and see. They're telling you all the things they can do to you if you don't follow this order. But let's go to the Constitution and see what that says when it comes to this. All right. Where's my Constitution? Because I'm going to show you in this Constitution that none of this stuff is lawful. They're using codes, statutes and codes on us, and we think that we're supposed to abide by this. So if you don't know you, that's how you get hooked up. All right, all I have to do is search. I can't find it on my... There it is right there. All right, in the Declaration of Rights, Article 1, Declaration of Rights in the Constitution, State of South Carolina. This is the 1895 Constitution. Again, I'm using South Carolina because that's where I live, and I can show you that. But if you look at it, if you're in another state, they pretty much say the same thing. Sometimes they have some different wording in there. Now, if you have got your straw man authenticated through the birth certificate, you set up everything properly, I'm going to take you to Section 13 of it. Says, taking private property. Except as otherwise provided in this Constitution, private property should not be taken for private use without the consent of the owner, nor the public use without just compensation being first made for the property. So, if the straw man is an entity that is property, and you have taken ownership by the affidavit on your authenticated birth certificate, and made that your property, really, they should be compensating you for trying to trespass on it. It's saying it can't be taken without your consent. All right? Now, here's another thing to show you that that process that they're using to get you in there is unlawful. All right. Let me find it. Section 22, procedure before administrative agencies. Now, didn't that say administrative process on that letter? Judicial review, Section 22. No person shall be finally bound by a judicial or quasi-judicial decision of an administrative agency affecting private rights, except on due notice and an opportunity to be heard. Nor shall he be subject to the same person for both prosecution and adjudication, nor shall he be deprived of liberty or property unless by mode of procedure prescribed by the General Assembly, and he shall have in all such instances the right to judicial review. So it's telling you, you are not bound by judicial or quasi-judicial. We already know what quasi means, seemingly or supposedly. Actually, let me just look it up. I looked it up last week, but I'm going to look it up in this other dictionary that I looked up before. I like to read the definition. Quasi. Yeah, everybody need to get an old dictionary. You really want to know what words mean? Get an old dictionary. All right. Quasi. All right. One thing about these old dictionaries, man, they got like every damn word in here. So we're going to take you a minute to find what you're looking for. Shoot, that word ain't even in this dictionary. So that must be some new stuff they come up with. Okay. Quasi. Oh, we're going to have to go to Wikipedia on that one. This is not even in this one. So that's telling you that's in one of those invented terms that they come up later after the fact or in hindsight. Okay, Wikipedia, quasi. Supposedly, seemingly, apparently, allegedly, I can read that big word on the face of it. So, basically, being partly or almost, not quite a judicial. Somebody asked me a question. Somebody asked me about the authenticated birth certificate. I'll get into that in a minute. If you have a question, I know you text me through Facebook. You can hit the number 1 on your phone if you're new, and I could bring you in on the call and answer that. I think this is his number. I'm going to bring him in. I know who that is who asked me that question. Hang on. Peace to the gods. What's up, Mike? This Mike?
What's up?
Hey, what's up, Mike? You asked me about that birth certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, before we get into that birth certificate, how come you ain't been coming to the shop, man? What's up? Huh?
You know, I'm just matter of fact, I'm gonna stop by Wednesday before I get off anyway. I mean, before I leave town Thursday. So.
Okay. Cool. All right, the authenticated birth certificate is what you do is, you were born in South Carolina, right?
No, I was born in Hawaii.
Whoa, okay. Now, I don't know how to get the Hawaii birth certificate. Well, you got to go online, and I think it's vitalcheck.com and order your long-form birth certificate. Order that, and a lot of times it'll say apostille/authenticate. Order that one. And then you go in, once you get that, depending on how Hawaii's rules, you either have to authenticate it on the county level, and then on the state level, then you got to send it to the Secretary of State of the United States of America. But when you come by the shop, I'll break it down to you in more detail. What that does, all right. And then you got to put an affidavit with it saying you're the owner. So I'll give you more details when I see you. Exactly how to do that, but that will help you in your situation because that's what I need or you need to send off with a copy of the injunction template. Like I said, I don't know if you was in when I said it. Jonah got it on his website. That's the actual injunction. Actually, we changed out the name, but that injunction was used a few times to stop these processes from even getting to the part where they had to pay. We just shut it down. That's what it did. I did one back in late January, early February. I sent it in, bam, and they haven't bothered him since. They ain't even respond now. They're not going to, a lot of people get worried. Oh, they didn't call me back. They didn't do this. No, they're not. And I'm going to tell you, you won. They're going to just leave you alone. And that's what you want.
Right.
And I, well, what if they start taking money out of my check arbitrarily? No, they can't because, first of all, before they take money out of your check, you will get a notice before they do it saying this is happening because you are in default. We found you in default. Then it happens. Then they put a date on when it's going to start or if they have already started. They let you know and they notify you first. But if you haven't gotten the first base to determine the child support, they can't even get to that part anyway because you shut that down. You see?
Right.
Yeah, see, the whole thing is not to even get the first base with them, not to even go in there and talk to them, don't even have a conversation with them. You're letting them know, basically, this is my property, I own it, and you have no rights to trespass on it. Now, let me clear something up. I'm not saying not to take care of your child. What I am saying is not to support the system to take care of your child. If that's what you're doing, is every time you put a dollar into that system, they're getting 60% from the feds.
Right. And I agree with you 100%. I believe child support is being used. I mean, like you said in the first one, you know, you were taking care of your child to begin with. And pretty much I'm doing the same thing as well. Now, of course, you know, like you said, you have those shady women out there. And then you also have people that do have those good mothers who don't want to put their man on child support because he is doing his responsibility, but she have all these other people in their ears and stuff like that.
Right.
So, of course, they end up going through the process anyway of putting a man on child support. Then, like you said, sometimes it don't even be the women. It just be the state.
The system. Because
they already getting assistance and stuff. So, of course, the system that they helping out the woman, they want their compensation. And, of course, they don't go after the woman to get their compensation. So, I mean, of course, it's always good.
See, we tend to think that they helping out the woman, right? That's our mindset. Well, because we looking at her as she's the problem, right? But a lot of times, they put it to her in such a way, like, especially if she don't know anything about her rights or whatever, because a lot of them don't tell them that they can negotiate with you. Like I just read, y'all can come to a mutual agreement. And,
right.
You know, if things that bad, sometimes you do have to go to the court and say, well, this is what I'm going to do, because you got somebody you're dealing with trifling, so you want that on paper saying this is what we agreed to. But a lot of times when they go through that process, the woman is almost forced to do it, saying, well, in order, if you're going to get money from us, we got to find out who this daddy is so we can get money out of him, basically. Get him to support, right?
Right.
Which, on the face of it, you'll say, okay, the father should support. But what they're not telling you is they're going after this money. They're getting a lot. They have a vested interest in getting the money out of your pocket. It's not about the child. It's nothing to do with the child. Because like I said, they get 60 cents on every dollar for every dollar that they collect in that system. Then they're charging the father for the administrative fees to even be in the system. You see what I'm saying? So
right.
You got a lot of money coming out of your pocket that's not even going to your child. You know? Whereas if you just had that agreement, every dollar coming out of your pocket is going to the welfare and upkeep of your child. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So here in this system, it's not like that. It's, let me get your money. And they're supposed to, if I read all of that, you know, I read everything I was supposed to read there, it shows you they're supposed to create a fair support order where it's comfortable for you to make the payments and it's the right amount to take care of the child. But they don't do that. They don't consider your rent, your lights, your water, and all your other daily responsibilities, the transportation costs. They don't consider none of that. They just go after as much as they can get out of you, and you left broke. So how is that healthy? How is that taking care of the child? Because now you don't have no money to do anything else, and now you're getting bitter. Why? Because you can't afford to take care of yourself. So it's like, I'll give you this analogy. If you're on a plane, right? And the plane's going down. Now, when that stewardess, they train you, they say, well, you got to take care of yourself first, because if you don't take care of yourself first, you'll be able to take care of the child. So now, if they're breaking your back, taking this money, how are you going to be an effective father for this child when you're constantly stressed about your personal bills? You know,
right.
That's distracting. That means you got to go out there and make more money. That's going to take time from you and the child. Now, I totally support fathers and taking care of kids. I've taken care of all my children. So, you know, and the only time I ever had to deal with that child support was my oldest son. That's him. His mom was young. She got public assistance. And then, you know, she was upset with me. So that's what she allowed to happen. And then when they set the amount, she still wasn't satisfied with what they was taking. I mean, she just wanted to take everything. I was like, well, hey. This is what, here's the kicker on that part. I was giving her more. They made me pay. I was actually giving more money to her. And when they made the order, they cut it down some. He was like, that ain't no. I said, well, you know, this is this. Then my ignorance was I didn't know that I can go and make an agreement until somebody told me. He said, yeah, y'all can come to an agreement, take the child off this system, and you give the money directly to her. I said, well, hey, I went to her, I said, hey, they making me pay this much. I'll give you this much, which was almost double what they were saying to me. I really did not want them in my business. But she didn't want to do it. Just being hard. You see what I'm saying? After a while, like after a couple, about 2-3 years, she came around and stopped it. But that was after, you know, some time. But a lot of times these females are hurting themselves by trusting this white European established system to take care of their affairs. See, we've been put, we came here by way of God. So only people that should be in your business is you and that mother. That's it. Nobody else should be in between us taking care of our business. No court should be entertained. You got to do this, do this, that, the other. Yes, there's some deadbeat dads. I give it to you. But the brush that they paint on the brush these bad dads, it's very few of them compared to the ones that are actually doing it. I cut here. I got a barbershop. And I know brothers coming in there with their children all the time getting hit. So what I see on the TV, what they probably say about the black man, is totally different than what I see him on a daily basis. And the brothers that are in my circle take care of their children. You see what I'm saying? So I can't agree with every brother's out there being a dad, but yes, there's a few of them, yes. For the most part, they want to take care of their children. And they are taking care of their children, but that system is giving them a hard time. See? So, but yeah, you definitely, that authentic birth certificate, Mike, is very important to this process. And it's going to take about 3 weeks if you actually complete that, you know, when you, from start to finish. So, and you need to start trying, you need to understand this paperwork, because, you know, there's a lot of brothers out there, yeah, I'm going to hand you the child support for you, and they put paperwork in, but they're not explaining anything to the people they're working with, keeping them from dark. That's no different than what we're dealing with the system. In order for me to work with you, I need study, because I'm not going to do everything for you. I'm going to show you, and then after a point, you have to work with it. You really have to understand it, because at the end of the day, you have to stand on it, and if somebody questions you. You see?
Right.
So, you have anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. Of course, you know, I hit you up about everything else already, and of course, I got to do part one first, which is getting that birth certificate. Yeah.
You got to study that birth certificate, too. I'll give you some information to look at when I see you and show you so you can actually get a full understanding of what you're dealing with. You see? So now, see, what I don't like is, like my brother's situation, is you knew that these brothers out here that know some of this stuff, hey, you know, I can do this for myself, but then they wait till the last minute. You know, we talking maybe November. When I was talking to my brother about this, now, hey, you know, I got this letter, man, will you can help me? You know, I went off on him, but I was like, nigga, you knew about this. I put you on it, and I told you to get the authenticated birth certificate, and then we'll put everything together. Nothing. You know, the one thing I can't do is free another man. A man has to free himself. I can guide you in the right direction, but I can't free you. You know, because if in a situation like that, most likely it won't work for him. Know why? It won't work because he don't understand what's going on, and he's not taking the time to study on it. Now, I'm not trying to badmouth the situation, but most likely your mind generates everything. One thing, Jonah, I agree with Jonah when he says this, your mind generates every outcome that you deal with. If he's not on the same page where he really understands these codes and the Constitution and he thinks this is going to work, it's not going to work if you don't have that faith in it. Now, when the brother helped out before, he understood. He just needed help getting the paperwork in. So, it worked for him. Now he's sitting scot-free. And the good thing about him, he had his children's birth certificate and he authenticated those and made himself the owner of that. So that even helped you get that birth certificate of that child and you authenticate it. And you become the owner of it. See, that's another thing you can do. So anyway, what is it? Almost an hour? Man, that went by quick. That's all I was going to do. We got 8 minutes. You got any more questions?
Nah, you pretty much touching bases on everything that I need to know. Of course, when I see you, Wednesday, if I got more questions, I'll let you know.
You still got my number. Just text me or call me before you get there. Cause you know how I am. I'm in and out of the shop doing, you know, I've been doing all kinds of stuff.
I'll be there. I get off at 5, so I'll be there right when
okay,
I get.
Okay, I'll see you then. All right, that being said, that's the end of the child support injunction. I just wanted to go over that real quick. I wasn't going to keep nobody on here for 2 hours to talk about it because it's really strict. It's probably one of the easiest processes to deal with is that child support. Not that hard if you got everything in place. All right. Jonah's show going to be on tomorrow. I think it's Conversation Wednesday. That's another show, Mike, you need to get on because the brother Jonah be dropping it. He's got a lot more knowledge on the other subjects than I do because I learned from him. Get on that show because that really go into – sometimes he'll talk about the authenticated birth certificate, but he also goes into all other aspects of that to help you understand further. That's a good show. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And remember, anybody that wants that injunction, Jonah got it on his website. I don't know what he got it for, but it's up there. JonahBayBlockTalk.com, I think it is. All right. With that being said, peace to God. Y'all have a good night. Thanks for listening to Hindsight Radio. This is your host, Akeem L.
Between you and Biggie, it was like, who rules the nigga kingdom and shit, basically, you know what I'm saying? I was like, this is like a fucking election. It's an election.
It is that.
Shit, you know what I'm saying?
Me and Biggie's situation is smaller than that. Me and Biggie's situation is like...
Fucking screw up, got introduced to the game, got an ounce of fucking truck, chopping rocks overnight, the nigga Biggie Smalls trying to turn into the Black Frank White, we had to go dress to change our description, two cops is on the milk box missing, show they clothes, you know they got stepped on, a fist full of bullets, a chest full of Teflon, run from the police, picture that, nigga I'm too fat, I fuck around and catch an asthma attack, that's why I bust back. When he drops, take his clock and I'm crazy. Celebrate my escape, solar block, what's some weight? Lay back, I got some money to make, motherfucker.
Pushing the gas when my clock blast. We was young and we was dumb, but we had heart. In the dark, where we survived through the bad parts. Many
ask, asking questions, trying to stress me. Misery is all I see, that's my mind state. My history with the police.